I'm coming soon. Be there in a minute. Just a sec. Ever heard that before? Some of us have. I feel like I've heard them all and more. See, it's not that my siblings are lazy. It's just that they have different priorities. Or at least that's the way they see it. Unfortunately for me, Jesus sided with them on that one. And I wasn't about to argue with him. It was the first time Jesus had ever visited our town of Bethany. I couldn't believe that he had chosen my house to stay in. And I wanted it to be perfect. Jesus and his disciples had walked all the way from Jericho. They were exhausted and hungry, and I didn't have much time to get ready. I say I because Mary was way too excited about the fact that Jesus was coming to actually have been much use at all. So I gave her the carrots. Thought that would be pretty simple, right? The thing was that every time she went to chop them, she would pause and say something like, "Did you hear, Martha? They say Jesus once fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Imagine that. And at the end, there were 12 basketfuls left over. 12. That's like one for each of the disciples to hand out later. That's crazy." I would smile and nod and motion to the carrots still lying there untouched on the bench in front of her. So she picked up the knife again, reached for a carrot, and said, "Martha, they say he even raised a girl to life. Jairus' daughter, you know, the synagogue ruler from Capernaum. Jairus went to ask Jesus for help because his daughter was sick. But then he got news that she'd passed away before he could even ask Jesus. But Jesus went anyway. Jesus went there after she'd passed away. Apparently, he sent all the mourners out of the house, kicked them out. And he went in there and he took the girl by the hand and he said, 'Little girl, arise.' And she did. Can you believe it? 1 minute she's dead and the next fully alive and wanting to eat something." Well, speaking of ready to eat, wasn't like we were going to be at that point anytime soon. Certainly not at the rate that Mary was working. The carrot had all but just rolled off the bench in an effort to escape, and Mary didn't even notice. Mary, those stories, they're pretty amazing. And as much as I'd love to hear more, we're actually about to have a large group of tired, hungry men arrive at our doorstep and we scarcely have a semblance of a meal to offer them. The words had barely even left my mouth before Mary had dropped the knife, the carrots went rolling, and she raced out the door because she could hear deep voices entering the alleyway. I stayed in the kitchen. See, someone had to keep the show on the road, and it certainly wasn't going to be her. I could hear Jesus' voice rise and fall as he spoke to Lazarus and the rest of those around him. Finally, I could just bear it no more. Like, I had waited far longer than I should have for Mary to turn around and come back into the kitchen and help me. See, she should have come to her senses. She should have been in the kitchen helping me. If she had, then it would have taken half the time, and I could actually be in there with her and Lazarus and Jesus, being able to hear everything as well. So I had a plan. I moved to the doorway, and I motioned to her. You know how you try and catch people's attention without actually calling across the room? I was like, Mary, in the room, simply just turns her head. So no longer am I in her vision of sight. She's like, no, not even going to receive those messages that you're trying to send me from across the room. Surely Jesus would take my side. I mean, I'm making food for him. You'd think that would be logical. So I brought him into the conversation. Lord, do you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. It's kind of like tell her to help me to help you. It's like win-win, right? See, I wanted to be there too. I didn't want to miss out. Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. Well, he certainly got that one right. Absolutely. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Mary had chosen. It's like it was a choice. There was so much to be done, and she chose to focus on Jesus. I looked at her again, and while she remained silent, her words drifted across my mind. Jesus had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Maybe the meal didn't actually matter that much. It was just food after all. This too shall pass. Jesus, the man who had raised a girl to life, was sitting in my house wanting to spend time with me. And I had a choice. Maybe some things could wait. Have you ever waited for someone? Or something? Are you waiting right now? Maybe for the return of a loved one. Maybe for a change in your financial situation. Maybe for a promotion at work. News from the doctor. It's hard to wait sometimes, isn't it? I don't know. See, especially when we know all the answers, you know? And God just needs to hurry up and act and do what we know he should have done by now. Well, at least it's hard for me. I think it's because I'm a control freak. See, Mary and I, we know what it's like to wait. See, we didn't think that it was appropriate, I'd learned my lesson, to tell Jesus what to do. So, we thought we'd just update him on the situation. With the message, Lord, the one whom you love is sick. That's pretty clear, right? Not hard to read between the lines on that one. There aren't that many lines to read. But somehow Jesus appeared to have missed the memo. I can still recall sitting on the mat, listening to Lazarus's raspy breaths, and holding a cool cloth to his forehead. It never seemed long before it was burning up again and I had to change it, rinse it out again, reapply. We waited. We didn't understand. Why was Jesus taking so long to act? He'd replied that this sickness wouldn't end in death and that it was for the glory of God. But death crept closer as the agonizing moments slipped away. And we knew there wasn't much time left. How do you wait for something when it appears as though God isn't doing anything? He isn't listening. He isn't acting. He frankly isn't doing anything at all. And you can only wait. See, it's interesting to look back through the Tanakh at those who have gone before us. People like Daniel, Job, Esther, Joseph, Moses, Abraham, and Noah. See, all friends of God, and yet they found themselves in extremely trying circumstances. Each one of them. See, my favorite, I find Noah fascinating. He was a man who lived in a time when evil was master and humans its slaves. Justice was perverted and mercy was malnourished. People lived for their own pleasure. No respect for another person or property. Almost sounds familiar, doesn't it? See, the ancient records reveal that Noah received a message from God regarding the coming judgment of humanity and the possibility of salvation. See, God said humanity had become so wicked that it was time for earth to get a reset. He was going to destroy the earth and everyone on it. Everyone, that is, except those in the boat with Noah. How would you respond if this was you? How would you feel if God had sent an angel to you and asked you to preach that message? Noah had a choice. He could either believe God, build a boat, and preach the message. He could build a boat, save his family, survive. Or he could just continue on with life as normal. Noah had a choice. The crazy part is, Noah built the boat. See, up until this point, rivers had never flooded. It hadn't even rained. The earth was watered by a dew that came every morning. There was no evidence that water would even reach the hull, let alone lift the boat to floating status. It was crazy. 20 years went by. 20 years. There was no rain. Not even a drop. There was, however, a rain of ridicule as people found Noah and his family an ample source of entertainment. See, every time Noah dropped his tools to start preaching the message of love and hope that God had given him, every time he's met with scorn and laughter. Noah believed every word that God had told him. And while he was waiting for God to act, he worked. He worked on the task at hand, building the boat and sharing the message of love and hope that he had been given with the person in front of him. 120 years went by. Noah didn't have a single convert, not one, after 120 years. Yet God had called him to share this message of judgment and salvation, and so Noah did. Day after day, jeer after jeer, wooden beam after wooden beam, Noah continued. See, God gave humanity every possible chance of salvation. Every chance to change their course and to believe the truth. But this message of salvation, it was silenced before it even reached their hearts. And Noah, he kept on building and preaching and trusting and waiting for God to act. We waited for God to act. We prayed and we held each other right up until the final moment. We believed that Jesus would step in, that he could step in. If Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have died. But he wasn't, and he did. Just like Jairus' daughter. Only this time, Jesus didn't come into our house and take Lazarus by the hand and call him back to life, and we didn't give him a meal. This time. See, this time we wrapped him in grave clothes and we sealed him behind the stone. Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days when I received the messenger in our house. He motioned me from the door and I got up and I made my way over to him. He whispered that Jesus was on his way. He was just outside of Bethany. And I slipped from the room, finally, 4 days late, but finally my Lord had come. I ran to him and crying out, I said the words that have been on my mind and our hearts this past week. Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus would not have died. Lazarus could not have died. Mary came and she joined us. And Jesus asked where Lazarus had been laid. See, I thought he wanted to come and mourn with us, and so we showed him the way. Jesus said that he was the resurrection and the life. That anyone who believes in him, even if they die, they will live. We believe that Lazarus would live again at the final day in the last resurrection. And we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, coming here to earth. But believing this didn't change the fact that our brother was lying on a stone cold slab behind the stone that was in front of us. The mourners, they followed us like dogs after scraps. I knew some of them weren't genuine. Some were here for gossip. Some were here as spies. Their cries, both disconcerting and distracting, were silenced by the words, "Take away the stone." Sorry, what? Jesus, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. We're not taking away that stone. That's crazy, man. You really don't want to do that. Jesus had been crying with us, and the tears were still glistening on his face as his command was obeyed. I held my breath, and the stone slowly opened the tomb. We listened as Jesus prayed to his Father, and then called in a voice that shook with divinity, "Lazarus, come forth." Seconds beat in minutes as we waited for movement within. There was a whisper of a sound, and then shuffling footsteps gave way to the form of a man. There were tears that just continued to fall as we ran towards him, both to try and hug him, but also to remove the grave clothes from our brother as he stood there. See, death has no hold when the voice of life speaks. Jesus loved us. We knew that. We could see it in his eyes and feel it in his touch. Jesus loved us. And that's why he waited. See, it's a really strange concept, but it's the only one that makes sense to me now. Jesus is life. And if Jesus had been there, Lazarus would not have been stolen by death if Jesus was in the room. So he waited to strengthen our faith. And yet Jesus was there in the midst of our intense pain and our crying. He was holding us when we could bear it no longer. And Jesus was there when we saw Lazarus standing there in the doorway of death. He had called life back into his resting body. And the knowledge that my Lord could and would do that will stay with me for the rest of my life. 120 years. That's a long time. That's a very, very long time. The thing that blows my mind is God could have sent an angel or two or three or a million to help Noah build the ark. It would have been done a lot quicker. God could have sent Noah an ark. But he didn't. Instead, he waited. God waited. He waited because he loved humanity. It's never God's will to lose a single one of us. He had Noah preach for 120 years because he wanted to give humanity every last chance of salvation. He wanted humanity to be able to choose life. Word of what Jesus had done for us in bringing Lazarus to life soon reached the council in Jerusalem. And from that moment on, they plotted his death. There are no words to describe the pain that we experienced the weekend of Jesus' crucifixion. We couldn't fathom how one who spoke life to death would willingly give himself up to be crucified. It didn't make sense. We had no time to complete his burial before Sabbath, and so the plan was to finish on Sunday. Mary, ironically, was the first one there. And seeing the stone rolled away, she ran back to tell the others of what had happened. Soon returning, I remember that she said, this time she stood outside the tomb. And there were tears filling her eyes as she wondered where they had placed Jesus' body. We still laugh about the fact that she thought Jesus was the gardener. Actually, I mostly laugh. She doesn't find it that amusing. But I think it's pretty entertaining. And she was the one in the room previously hanging out with him while I was elsewhere, and she still didn't recognize him. But that's cool. It's crazy how your perception of a situation can change the reality of what you see. Can cloud your judgment. But it was Jesus. Our Lord had died on the Friday, rested on Sabbath, and been restored to full life on Sunday. It was amazing. It was almost more than we could comprehend. Jesus told Mary that he was going to his Father and to our Father. Our Father. What a crazy concept. Jesus' death sealed our salvation and gave us inheritance as children of God. If you have something that needs to be shared, tell a woman. More specifically, tell my sister. Because it wasn't long before news of Jesus' resurrection just spread through the streets of Jerusalem. Everybody started to hear. It's a message that still resonates around the world today. Jesus has risen and he is coming soon. Do we really understand what we've sung about today? Do we really understand deep within us what that means? Do you really understand what that means? Have you ever actually stopped to think about the reality of those words deeply? Jesus, the Son of God, Creator of the universe, Commander of the heavenly armies, is coming back very soon looking for you. You are on his to-do list. This is not just a cliche. This is reality. Jesus is coming. We are waiting for our Lord again. The question is, what are we doing while we wait? See, one of the last things Jesus said to us before he left is he said we need to share this message with everybody that we meet. To let people know that Jesus is alive, that he loves us all, and that one day he will come back to take us home. He called us to go and make disciples. Are we? Are we sharing that message? Are we building a boat and making disciples? Or are we just building a boat for our family? How much room is there in our boat? What about our to-do list? How much room is there for him on that? Do we allow him to even make our to-do list? Do we allow him to make our to-do list? Jesus has risen. He's literally loved us to death. And he is coming soon. The question is, what are we doing for him while we wait? The question is, what are we doing for him while we wait? Let's just bow our heads. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to worship together today. And Jesus, we don't even begin to understand who you are or the depth of the love that you have for us. But we are so grateful. And we just pray today that through your Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will love through us, that you will continue to teach us the depth of your love for us, and that you'll work through us in our conversations, in our actions, in everything that we do. As we finish off this year and as we begin another one soon, Lord, we just ask that your kingdom come soon. And we ask that your kingdom, it's crazy that you even want to use us, Lord, but we just ask that you somehow do, and you'll use us for your kingdom, and that you'll love through us. We're so grateful for who you are and for